So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 12 as we go through the book of Genesis chapter by chapter, verse by verse. God had called a people, a person. He called Abram, a person, to create a people, the Israelites. And they were to be God's people and to follow the Lord. And so we're in the beginning of the calling. Abram, he's not yet called Abraham. God had told him to leave his country, to go to the place that the Lord would have him go, and to leave everything behind. Now, you've been with us. We've talked about this. I believe this is my third attempt to get through the sermon without coughing. He says that, "I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you." Why is America so blessed? I believe, and we just read it here, that we have defended and been a friend to Israel. And we believe that's where the blessings are. When the Greeks overran Palestine and desecrated the altar in the Jewish temple, they were soon conquered by Rome. And when Rome killed Paul and many others and destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD under Titus, Rome soon fell. What are they today? What is Israel today? Or not Israel, but Italy today. It's a vacation site. They're not a world power as they once were. Spain was reduced to the fifth-rate nation after its inquisition against the Jews. Poland fell. Hitler's Germany collapsed. Britain lost their empire when they broke their faith with Israel. So this is also the main reason why the United States is so blessed, and we're one of the first modern nations to grant full citizenship and protection to the Jewish people. And so God's word is true, isn't it? Who are the cursed nations throughout the world? Well, they're all the ones that are up against Israel. Very interesting. And he says, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And that's twofold. Number one, material sense. And number two, in that spiritual sense. So not only was Abram's promised blessings, but God also promised to make him a blessing to all the families of the earth. Now, you and I are a benefit of the Jewish people. They rejected Jesus Christ and now have been blinded, and then salvation has come to the Gentiles. Well, that's you and me. Now, we haven't replaced them. They have been blinded for a season until the fullness of the Gentile comes in. That's every believer. Then the church is raptured and everything turns back to the Jew. And so we have been blessed. So the blessing is not just for the Jewish people, but for us, the Gentiles, as well. So we recap. So God wanted his people, and today that includes you and me as Christians, to be a keeper of God's word. Romans 3, the Jews were fierce protectors of the scriptures. And then to channel, be a channel for God's wonder. Isaiah, the Messiah would come through the Jewish people. And so we have been blessed because of the nation of Israel, just as God has said. And Abram's source of all spiritual blessings, once again, two reasons why we're indebted to Abram. Number one, Christ came through his line. And number two, it set an example of justification by faith, a pattern of salvation. Abraham believed, and God counted it as righteousness. How do we get to heaven? We believe, and God counts that as righteousness. We call it by faith, right? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So just as Abraham believed and God accounted him as a friend, we believe and we have that same status as well. Now, there are many people, you may have talked to them, who say, "Oh yeah, I'm one of those believers, yeah. But I don't want to talk about Jesus. Or I don't want to talk about God. And I'm not, you know, that New Testament stuff, that's outdated and stuff. The whole Bible's really outdated." Have you heard this? I've just read today, before we came in, about a church, I'll leave the denomination unnamed, that they've had conversations about allowing open homosexual pastors and female homosexual pastors run the church, they've debated. Well, they're going to vote on it in February next year. They're going to make their final decision. And that looks like the route that they're going. And so now it's hard to minister to someone who has involved in that particular sin when they say, well, other churches accepted. Why are you so perfect? You better know what the scripture says, right? You better teach them in love and grace and mercy. God's word never changes. They're changing for financial reasons so they don't lose people, right? And they want to be friendly, friendly seeker. Well, here's what God's word does. It repels and it draws. And those who want to believe will be drawn closer to the Lord. And he says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. But it also repel people. Hey, that's good for you. I'm not interested. And so we have to just love on people. But listen, I can't say this stronger enough. And I think Paul's heart was there too. It's urgent. The time is at hand. Now, I know we want to tickle people's ears sometimes and not offend anybody about this Jesus stuff, but we want to get them saved, so we're going to try my way to get them saved. It is the Word of God that has the power, not me. And so I need to give them the Word of God. This is what God says. Peter says, show me your works and I'll show you your faith. If you say a believer and your life hasn't changed, and you're doing nothing for God, and there's no difference about you, question your faith. How many would agree? So we'll pick it up in chapter 12, verse 4 through 9. So Abram departed as the Lord spoke to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, and as far as the terebinth tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were then in the land. And so the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord. And who appeared to him? And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Was he being obedient? Partially obedient. Yes, he did go. He seems to obey God, right? But Acts 7 tells us that God told Abram to leave his family while still in Ur. Now, we read that too in the beginning of the chapter, didn't he? In Genesis 11:31 tells us Abram took his nephew and father with him, and he had to wait in Haran. And Lot was with him. The father held him up in Haran. So, this is a partial obedience. Now, why is this a problem? Well, some of you know the story. But as we go through it, God knows the whole picture. He knows the whole story. He's seen the movie, if you will, right? He knows what's going to happen next, and we don't. And this is why there's a dependent upon the Lord to guide and to lead us. And when he says to go and leave everything behind, what are we supposed to do? Do exactly what he said, go and leave everything behind. So he did go, but he brought everything with him. And those of us who know the story will see that these things that God said to leave behind became a hindrance and made him ineffective in his call. Now, he didn't see it that way, did he? And sometimes we do the same thing. God may say, hey, I want you to do this. All right, I'll do that a little bit. And we don't fully obey the Lord. And who suffers? Well, we suffer, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. This was a partial obedience. You see, God knows these things way in advance. And that's why our faith is dependent upon Him, not our plans. Because how many times have our plans failed? How many times we say, hey, you know, thank you, God, you opened the door, I'll take it from here, right? How many have done that? Well, many people do that. And perhaps I've done it in the past too. So we understand and we learn that we need to be fully obedient to the Lord. God doesn't need our help or our opinions, does He? He wants our obedience. That's it. We have a task and a call here on earth. Once we become believers, we have a calling and a plan for our life. And that is to make disciples and to love others as Christ has loved us, right? That's our job. That's our calling. We are ambassadors to the King. And one day He'll call His ambassadors home. And you know what will happen after that. We've talked about that. So as He raptures the church, things are going to happen. So Abram was 75 when he departed from Haran. Haran is 600 miles northwest of Ur, 400 miles northeast of Canaan. He didn't get on a jet and fly there. That's a long way by camel, wouldn't you agree? That's a long way anyway, right? Imagine moving from there, from Miami to Atlanta to New Orleans on foot, right? Or on a camel's back. How many have ridden a camel? I've ridden a camel. Two of you. I've been to Cairo, Egypt. They are so rough. Oh my goodness, that's why we're coming back on white horses with Jesus, not on camels, because it's a really rough ride, I'm telling you. That's a lot of traveling, and that's a lot of land he passed. So it tells us in verse 5 that Abram prospered in Haran. How do we know that? What did it say? It said he gathered possessions, he acquired people. This is a common practice. Hey, come with us. We're moving on. We need some help. Good beginnings, it appears like, despite the disobedience, right? Oh, God's blessing us. Look at all the things that we have acquired. Is that a blessing? I don't know. I've told you the times where the sheriff wanted me as a supervisor. I didn't take the test, and I introduced him to someone, and I get a phone call, hey, you've been promoted. Well, I didn't take the test, and the union would have fought that. There's nothing illegal about that. But what looked like a blessing could have been a curse. You know, it was like a big carrot held out in front of me. Hey, you're going to make more money. You're going to be in a position of leadership, and this is just rising to the top. But listen, at the time, I was going to seminary school at night, part-time. And it was hard enough. So when I had the phone call, I was in my captain's office. I said, hey, I have to turn this down. I'm going to seminary school at night, and this isn't going to work for me. Now, how did that happen? The Holy Spirit gave me the power to do that. I can take absolutely no credit for that at all. And then afterwards, all my friends are like, oh, I can't believe you did that. No, this is what I did. So what would appeared like a blessing, because it would have taken me off and sent me somewhere else for the midnight shift or whatever. But God had other plans. We probably wouldn't even have a church at that, as a result of that. So God knew the beginning from the end. He knows what is going to happen. And so this is why we keep our eyes upon Him. He also, listen, tells us in His Word the things that are going to happen. We're talking about Ezekiel. Now, we don't know if it's now or it's 100 years from now, but it looks like it's now, right? Israel became a nation. Before that, you couldn't talk about these events. Israel who? They don't even have a land. Oh, but they have a land now. There's been prophecy fulfilled. We've seen it. This is the generation watching the fig tree bloom and blossom. And so we have that hope. So we want to be obedient to the Lord. So what appears sometimes to be a blessing can certainly be a curse. So they came into the land of Canaan. Now, this is the promised land. They haven't taken all the promised land then. They don't have it now. They're not going to have it in the 7-year tribulation period. They won't have it until we come back with Jesus to occupy all the land. Because they will still be under the rule of the Gentiles until the end, until Christ comes back. And so they're there in Shechem, Abram's first stop in Canaan, midway between Galilee and the Dead Sea, 40 miles north of Jerusalem. The Canaanites were in that land. And so this is where the Palestinians and the Arabs say the Jews have no right to that land because they were there first. Were they there first? Yes. But who said that land was for the Jews? God did. We read it. It'll get in more detail in other places as well when he specifically says, look to the north, look to the south. This land I give to you for an everlasting generations and covenant. So, yes, they were in that land. That's true. But God is the one who determined who that land goes to. Who owns the land? God does. That's right. Absolutely. So it tells us the Lord appeared to Abram and promised his people would possess this land. It's fulfilled. Joshua's conquest. Shechem is a portion of Manasseh. Ultimate fulfilled in the millennial period. As I said, right now they don't even have a quarter of the land right now. But they'll get it all in the end there. So it's an important point. So the West Bank, and you see these things. And I had someone ask me recently, you know, why are we so worried about Israel? Why don't we mind our own business? I couldn't believe that this person said that to me. They're uninformed, or they're not interested, one of the two. So when you hear about the West Bank, Gaza Strip, the Golan Heights, God says in Exodus 32:13, I will give you this land, I promise then, and it will be an inheritance forever. If you're looking for that location, it's Exodus 32:13. So God had determined who would occupy that land. And that's very interesting. So it's important for us to understand. Abram believed God's promise. So what did he do? He responded. Listen, if we truly believe the promises of God, and as he gives us revelation of these truths, we're going to respond. If we're his, if his spirit dwells within us, we're going to act upon the things that God tells us, right? If we're obedient, if we have truly surrendered. There are some people, when we speak about eschatology, they cringe. Why are you cringing? The truth is, we win. It's all good for us. For the non-believers, not so much, right? So it's important that as we hear truth, that we respond to it, whatever that may be, if God has called us to do something specific in our lives. What does he do? Well, he builds an altar to the Lord. What does he do with the altar? He worships God. God is worthy to be praised. I remember the next day after I got saved, I was eating an apple. I've told you before, I'm driving in my police car, and I love fruit. And this is like the best apple I ever ate in my life, because I was really saying, oh, God, look how good this is. Oh, this is the best apple I ever had. And then I'm looking up in the skies. Oh, look at those clouds. Like, I never seen clouds before. Oh, those are the beautifulest clouds. I was just praising God. We praise and worship God. We give him thanks for what he has done, what he's doing, listen, and what he's ultimately going to do. We're going to meet him. And all these guys in the Bible you have questions for, hopefully we're going to meet them too, some of them, right? The ones who are believers, for sure. Abraham will be there. And so, it's all good. It's all good. You know, God didn't just leave us out there to wonder and to worry. He doesn't want us to wonder and worry. He has given us all that he wants us to know. Now, there are things that we don't know. John was told to write it down and eat it. You know, eat it. It's not time for that to be seen. Because we probably couldn't understand it. You know, it's interesting, as we've gone through Revelation, John's trying to explain things that he had never seen before. He called them creatures and with heads and eyes, and you know, the best he could describe these things, whatever they are, they got to be good, right? Because they're with the Lord in heaven. We're going to see things we've never seen before. God has things for us that we can't imagine. We can't imagine. So, in knowing how much God loves us, how much he cares for us, we worship him. It's always the fruit of true faith in God. Worship is always the fruit of our faith, true faith, in God. We worship the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many times should we have said thank you to the Lord today alone, right? Thank you for letting me wake up this morning, get out of my bed on my own, walk on my own 2 feet, right? In my sound mind. We have so much to give the Lord's thanks for. So it tells us that Abram went south from Shechem to settle between Bethel and Ai. Once more, he builds an altar and he calls on the name of the Lord. Worship and prayer are part of the believer's life. Worship and prayer. Worship is not just for the worship team, ladies and gentlemen. It's just not for those who come up and sing. It's for all who believe. That's why we come in and we give praise and worship to God in song and in praise. It's not just them. They're helping us because some of us have real bad voices for singing, like me. So we can't keep a note. So that's what their job is for, right? But we're the ones to be worshiping and praying to the Lord. It's part of our life. It's what we do. So now, if you said, yeah, I'm a believer, but I never pray, could you be a believer? No, of course you couldn't be a believer, because the Holy Spirit would be praying for you and encouraging you to pray. These are just the results, the fruit of being a Christian, right? As we're Christians, what happens? We become humble. Now, we're not perfect, but I'm not who I was. I've certainly changed. There are people that knew me when wouldn't even know who I am today if they couldn't see me. So we've changed. We're not perfect. We got a long way to go yet. But when the Spirit comes in you, we're still, listen, write this down, those of you who are note takers. We are still under construction. And Jesus is still building our house, right? Because he doesn't have the move-in permit for the Father. Otherwise, he would have come back and taken us home. So it's, but be looking, it's coming, right? He's preparing a place. And in the Jewish, when the groom went to the father's house to prepare a place, the father would look and say, yes, okay, it's done. Go get him. Go get your bride. So that's what we're waiting for. He builds an altar and he worships God. And sometimes, depending on who's in the church, if whoever's up front, I've done it a couple times to try to encourage people to sing and worship and lift holy hands to the Lord. Sometimes people do it, and sometimes they don't. But if there's people in front of them worshiping, and there's an example of somebody, oh, you can just see the excitement in their heart, you're going to do the same thing too. Be excited about your faith, ladies and gentlemen. Why would the world want to follow you? Well, let me answer that question, because Jesus says you are the salt of the earth. You create thirst and flavor. You're a preservative that holds back decay. There's a reason the world should follow you, because Jesus says you are the light of the world. You illuminate truth in this dark world. So start doing it. Be an encourager. Now, I understand life is difficult. There's things happening around us. Even more of a reason to turn to the Lord. Wouldn't you agree? Especially when you find yourself in difficult situations, or people around you in difficult situations. Even more to draw them to the Lord. Verses 10 through 16. Now, verse 9 said, moved still towards the south. So he's drifting downward. Will lead to miserable mistake. We'll read that. Verses 10 through 16. Now, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to the entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you And they will say, this is my wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well for me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. And so it was, Abram came to Egypt, and the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. And he treated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep, oxen, and male donkeys, and male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh, and his house was great with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you've done to me? Why did you not tell me that this was your wife? Why did you say she was your sister? I might have her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded him, his men, and concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had had. So let's talk about this. He's drifting downward. It said he kept going southward. There was a famine in the land. God tests our faith by sending this famine. Are you going to trust me in spite of your situation? Now, who sent him there? God did, right? So Abram pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. Bethel, meaning house of God, and Ai, meaning heap or dump, right? So, and if you're heavenly minded, then this is how you live with heaven before us and the earth behind us. And so, will you abide in God's promises? This is like someone trying to walk both ends of the fence, right? Yeah, I'm a Christian, but hey, you know, I can make money if I lie and sell them the stuff, but I really love the Lord. But it's somebody who's not sure. And notice Abram went down into Egypt. God didn't call him to Egypt. God didn't call him to Egypt. And I think sometimes we don't wait upon the Lord. That we see a situation and we rush out and we take action. Oh boy, let me help you out, God. And sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we don't see it in the flesh and we have to make decisions. But listen, we have to remember what God said. God told him to go. That means if God told him to go, that God has a plan for him there and that God would provide for him there. Fear and flesh led him to Egypt. Flesh will always lead you out of God's will, down. He went down to Egypt, right? Following the flesh always will be a downhill. Jonah is an example, right? Jonah, what did he do? Jonah went down. One sin leads to another. He left the will of God. He goes to Egypt. And then what does he do? Well, we're going to talk about that. When he was close to entering Egypt, an environment affecting his integrity, right? The location caused us to lower our standards. You ever been to a place where you feel out of place? Like I've been to Key West. You ever been to Key West and they have the parades and stuff like that? Well, other people know what I'm talking about. So they have these carnival parades going up and down the street. And if you're there, they're half-dressed, walking down the street. Terrible environment. Or you've been on a cruise ship and these things happen as well. Now, you didn't plan to go there at that time to see that, unless you went there for that purpose. But we've been to these places not knowing what was going on, and you just feel dirty, right? And so here, he's going to this place, an environment affecting his integrity. Now, you can either be a thermometer or a thermostat. A thermometer tells you what the heat is, right? What the temperature is. But a thermostat adjusts it. A thermostat can make it hotter or colder. So we want to be a thermostat. We don't want to just be there, oh, this is terrible. We want to change the scenery, right? So he told Sarai, her name gets changed to Sarah later on. Sarai was a woman of beautiful countenance. This is a point because she's 65 years old at this time, midpoint in her life. She dies at 127 years old. So when the Egyptians see her, they will kill me. It's an important truth. Listen, God's blessing worked against you when you work against God's blessing. Right? Because God was the one who was orchestrating things. But it's interesting to see that God still had mercy on him. God still loved him and cared for him, and God still provided for him, and we'll see that as well. So Sarai's beauty is intended as a blessing, but it becomes a burden for him. Please say you're my sister. He's pathetic at this point. Please lie for me is what he's saying. He's walked away from what God has told him to do in a land that is contrary to his integrity, and now he's telling his wife to lie as if God couldn't handle it, right? As if God couldn't have altered the circumstances. Tell him you're my sister. This is a half-true in Genesis 20. It's his half-sister, but she's his whole wife, though. What you don't say can be sin, too. And so here, it's interesting, our government, when you go to the court, it says, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So there's no half-truths in that, right? The truth, the whole truth, and don't leave anything out, nothing but the truth, right? So he's giving half-truths here. So remember, when someone is always following or watching you, here's the father of faith, Abram. He's just a man. He's faltering in his faith. His wife is watching him. He doesn't realize the mantle that he has at this point. But we see many people fall in Scripture. So that gives us hope, doesn't it? Noah fell when he got drunk in his tent after the ark. Moses, the meekest man on the face of the earth, struck the rock in his anger against the Israelites, right? Instead of speaking to the rock for the water, he strikes it and misrepresents God. Peter was ready to take a whole army on in order to defend Jesus at Gethsemane. And yet, only hours later, he faltered when a little girl says, hey, aren't you one of his disciples? Doesn't this give you courage? Or, you know, God's grace upon us is so amazing. Because each one of us have found ourselves at some point or another faltering, failing, and falling away from God's promise or God's plan. So watch out, be careful. There are areas that we think we're strong, but when we realize that we're weak, we need to depend upon the Lord. It's the power of Almighty God that helps us get through the situations, not our plans and schemes, right? So it was that he may live because of him. Flesh is doing three things in Abram right now. Number one, it is preoccupying himself with himself. He's worried about himself, right? This is the flesh. Number two, he's no longer, this is very important, he's no longer seeing God as sovereign. God is sovereign, in total control, right? And our trust is in him. And number three, he's taking matters into his own hands. We need to be careful about that, because then we're on our own, right? Not that God's going to leave us. I mean, we'll see him protect him anyway, but it's not what he wanted. It wasn't the plan. It wasn't the best plan. Abram was right about Sarai's beauty, immediately taken into Pharaoh's harem. But Abram receiving gifts in exchange for his wife, this is once again the flesh. It weakens you. It makes you settle for sinful situations. Notice how quick disobedience spreads. Look at this. He leaves the land of promise. He goes down to Egypt. He lowers his standards by going there, right? Because he shouldn't have any part of that. Then he asks his wife to lie. He lies. He loses his wife to another man. And Abraham is in a picture of ourselves when we operate in the flesh. It's a picture of what happens. We're relatable because we see his faults and we see our faults as well, right? And if he would have trusted in the Lord and allowed the Lord to fulfill what God wanted for him, then his faith would grow even more, wouldn't it? Well, we hope so, because here's the caveat to that. Sometimes God does amazing things in our lives, and we forget it so fast, don't we? Wow, I can't believe the situation I'm in right now. Man, I need help. But didn't God just do an amazing miracle in your life before? Why can't he help you now? We so often forget the things that God has done for us, the promises that he has fulfilled, the prayers that he has answered. Wouldn't you agree? So often we forget that. And so that's what happens here. And what happens now, because our sins affect others, the Lord plagued Pharaoh. It shows that God was not confined to Bethel, where he was over there. God is sovereign, right? He protects his people when all seems lost. God's providence. God protects him. God knew what was going to happen before it happened. And now we see God once again showing up in his grace and his mercy. God protects with his purpose and his plan for our lives. The Lord plagued Pharaoh with great plagues. It's suggested that there were great boils, perhaps venereal diseases. He saw a connection that it was because of Sarai, Abram's husband. Pharaoh called Abram. If he was afraid before, he asked Abram two questions. Number one, what have you done to me? Your sin will always impact others one way or another. And it may impact others in the spiritual realm that we don't even see. Here is a physical impact where she's brought into captivity. Number two, why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Even heathens understand evil is lying, right? They know. Why didn't you tell me? Why did you lie to me? Why did you say she was your sister? Abram being lectured on morality by the heathens. Isn't that terrible? Sad when the world instructs us in righteousness, but God knows how to humble us. Take your wife and go your way. He's been a bad witness. Abram loses his testimony. Inevitable outcome of following the flesh. We lose our testimony. Now, he can't go back. You know, it's difficult in the workplace where you're around heathen people and you want to be righteous and set an example for them. But if you're not walking in the Spirit and you're doing it in the flesh, you'll end up talking like they do, go to the places that they do. And now you can't turn around and say, oh, no, you need Jesus because you've lost your testimony. You're no different than we are, right? So there has to be that difference that happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's an inevitable outcome of following the flesh. Pharaoh gives him a police escort out of town. Overarching impression, God's grace and God's protection. God was still with him. Isn't that great? Even when we've fall and we fail. Now, there may be significant consequences. Obviously, they took his wife away from him. It doesn't tell us how long this was going on. He was separated from his wife. So there certainly was physical complications here that happened. But in the end, God took care of him. And what is that verse? All things work for the good of those who are in Christ. Those are called according to his purpose. What Satan meant for bad, God makes for good. And listen, it was despite his disobedience that God still blessed him. This was God's hand of mercy upon him. And it's amazing. Abram repeats this again in Genesis 20. But listen, in closing, God is patient and he's long-suffering. God is with us each and every day because he knows we're not perfect. We're imperfect beings. He knows we have the ability to fall and fail. That's why he gave us his Holy Spirit. He says, I must go to the Father, and if I go to the Father, he will send the what? The Helper to help us, to teach us, to guide us and direct us. And so you're not a Christian on your own, okay? You're a Christian with Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's with you, he's in you, to guide you, to help you, to protect you, to empower you, to give you the words to say when you don't know what to say. Just the other night as we were leaving the radio, this woman comes up to me and Ryan, and she's, you could smell the alcohol on her, and she's cursing up a storm, telling us all the story of her woes. She wanted money from us. And I'm just letting her talk, and I'm a pastor, I want to witness to her, but it's just the timing wasn't there, and she just cursing and everything else, and I'm praying to God as she's talking. I'm like, Lord, just give me the word to say it. All of a sudden I said, you need Jesus. Your life is a mess. You're hanging out with the wrong people. You're in the wrong place. You're intoxicated. And where did that come from? That came from the power of the Holy Spirit. I was saying, Lord, because listen, in and of myself, I wanted to walk away. Right? I really wanted to leave. But I didn't leave because I knew there was a purpose why God sent this woman in front of us. And then once I said that, Ryan picked up. Now he's witnessing to her too. So because the Holy Spirit gave me, the power and the words to say to her, it encouraged Ryan, who was probably thinking the same thing as I was. What do we say to this lady? So your actions can encourage other people, but it also, we see the example, it can cause harm to other people as well. And so may the Lord bless us as we walk with him to empower us, to keep us strong. We ask this in Jesus' name.